Welcome back to the Entertainment Newscast. It's August 21st, 2020, and I got quite a bit of news. A lot of the anime news is just anime hype, which is good. Anime hype is good. It's good to see more anime coming out, and anime still coming out even during a pandemic. So that's what's up. Some big things happened literally right after I released the newscast last week, and I was like, damn it, I already uploaded it. Fuck. But we'll talk about that later. And some big non-anime news too for DC Comics. So let's get into it, shall we? We're gonna do the non-anime news first, and then we're going to take a break in the middle, and then get into the anime news. All right, here we go. Enmass Entertainment is closing up shop. In a Facebook post today, Enmass Entertainment revealed that the company is shutting down. What games did they do? I just saw the post. But, like, I saw the Facebook post, and then I found, like, an article regarding, let me look it up. See, this is how not into, like, you know, mainstream games I'm in. Oh, they did Terra, okay, the game Terra, T-E-R-A, and, Pocket Platoons, Critica Online, The Dark Crystal: Age of Resistance, Stranger Things 3, the game. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I'm not really into that stuff, so that's probably why I've never heard of it. But, dang, that sucks. Let's see. Began more than 11 years ago. We started out as a small team. Along the way, we built a world-class community who showed nothing but love for the content, the worlds that we created. Today, it's with heavy heart that we begin the process of discontinuing the business of Enmass Entertainment. Our focus in the coming weeks and months will be our team helping them find new opportunities on our games to ensure a seamless transition for you. If you are in the industry and are looking for the best talent, please email. And they put their email there. And for those of you that are interested in Terra or Closers, there will be news in the coming weeks. Rest assured, support for those titles will continue. So that's a shame, but at least for people who are still playing, that's, you know, they can, you know, have that service still going. Obviously, the service may not be as, you know, constant or consistent, you know, but it's cool that they're still finding ways to support it even though they're closing down. And I wonder if part of that is due to the pandemic. They didn't really say why, but lots of news today will probably have to do with the pandemic or somewhat. But WB Games Montreal has been teasing an announcement for nearly a year now, and while we know the main developer of the Blood Arkham series, Rocksteady Studios, is working on a Suicide Squad game, all teases to this point have pointed towards WB Games Montreal's project being related to the Court of Owls and the League of Assassins. Additional reporting has also indicated it could be related to the Gotham Knights, and they're hoping for more news at WB Games Montreal project during the DC Fandome this weekend. So that's happening right now. Samurai Jack Battle Through Time launches today on Xbox One, Play PS4, Switch, and PC and Apple Arcade. And even your iPhone and iPad, it's there. But I was watching gameplay of it today on Game Informer's website, and I thought that was really sick. There was a new patch on Fall Guys, and Valve costumes will now be available in the store on PS4. Max player count for Fall Mountain is now 15. Team Tail Tag and Royal Fumble timer is now 1:30, and no more back-to-back team games. So, like, after the initial, like, opening race, and some of the games in between require you to be on a colored team. One of them is, like, the tail grab. There's, like, a soccer one and some other ones. And I think people were complaining that it was hard when, like, one group of people can get eliminated, you know, from one game to the next when you're doing back-to-back team games, so I think they changed that. So that's really cool. It's good that they're updating and listening to people. Dragon Ball FighterZ game's Master Roshi video reveals character and debut in September. I mean, we've been talking about getting Master Roshi since this game came out, so that's really cool. He's in his little khaki pants and his white tank top. Basically, his Dragon Ball Super outfit. Would have loved to see him in a Hawaiian shirt and shorts instead, but we all know that he looks badass this way as well. I actually would love to see him in his Jackie Chun outfit, his black, you know, Asian silk outfit. That would have been sweet. PlayStation 5 comes out with its first commercial. We're getting real close, man. 4 months away. Or four? Three? Well, actually, Xbox One is, or Xbox is like November, right? So like 3 months away for that. I don't know, man. I'm not going to get a PS5 right away. I'm happy with the PS4. And I just, I don't know. I don't see the appeal to either, to be honest with you. I feel like I just keep playing the Switch, playing the PS4, and playing on my computer. You know, we were talking about the new Battletoads game, and that's finally out now, and a lot of people hate it. Like, that sucks. A lot of people just thought it was not done right, not done correct. It kind of comes off as like a cheesy platformer. You know, like a lot of the indie titles you see nowadays with its kind of cheesy art and platforming. You know, there's the side-scroll beat-em-up stages, of course. There's people complaining about the way it looked, which I agree with. It looks kind of that updated indie game cartoon look. I hate it so much. Really bad. Really bad. I would love to see another Battletoads game that is like Battle Maniacs on Super Nintendo or the arcade one, where I think it was just called Battletoads, where that one was like really gory and bloody and raw and badass. Anyway, that sucks. There was a indie showcase for the Switch that happened recently, and Hades is coming from Supergiant Games on the Switch. It came with this really cool animated trailer, super dope. There's also another game that people were tagging me in on Discord called Barren Breakfast, where you like run this really shitty rundown poopy looking bed and breakfast in the middle of this shitty forest campsite, and a bear will come and do bear things, and people were like, oh, Sam, she likes bears. Shut up. Anyway, Hyperscape, faintly pushing the borders of the Battle Royale. Hyperscape is Ubisoft's foray into the well-established free-to-play game-as-service Battle Pass-up Battle Royale landscape. It's undeniably late to the party, which is not an insurmountable problem, but Hyperscape plays it too safe to shake things up in meaningful ways. Despite its solid shooting, smart upgrade systems, and embrace of verticality, Hyperscape struggles to keep the one-more-try Battle Royale sensation pumping through players' veins. I mean, it does look super cool. I kind of want to try this. You know, I was a fan of Apex Legends for a little bit. I just am bad at playing shooters on the PS4. But I definitely do want to try this. If anyone wants to try this with me, let me know. I might... What can you play it on? Can you play it on the computer? Hyperscape is... It's free, right? You probably got to get it from the Ubisoft, client, right? Download free now. Register at Ubisoft.com. Okay, yeah, anyone want to play this with me? Do you think it'll run on my computer? I think it will. Someone try it with me. We'll see. Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War. People are excited about this one. But, you know, uninspired gameplay and repetitive Call of Duty gameplay might run it under, but who knows. But the trailer looked super cool. Might be kind of cool. We'll see. I saw another Kickstarter for another game called Another... I said another five times. It's called Another Crusade, and it's inspired by Super Mario RPG, and actually the gameplay is like a direct inspiration of it, and the art kind of is an inspiration of it, and the battle system, the turn-based timed battle role-playing system is part of it. I'm not a big fan of the way the art looks, it looks like a... The 3D in it looks like 3D, like 3D animation you would see college students do from like 2005, kind of. And I think it's supposed to look like that, so maybe that's why. But I don't know. I am not a fan of it. But it does look like a fun, really, 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 really fucking fun game. They're also saying it's going to release on Android and iOS. Apparently, it met its goal of 250,000 MX dollars. I don't know what MX is, but it made 301,000 of it. You can go to their Kickstarter right now and play the demo for free. So there you go. This is the only movie news I have, but they revealed a little teaser of LeBron James walking out in the new Toon Squad jersey, and I don't like it. I get what they're trying to go for. They're trying to make it flashy or whatever, but it just doesn't beat the classic look of the original Monstars jersey and Toon Squad jersey. I mean, basketball jerseys nowadays are simple, for the most part, and this jersey just is like a kind of like an all-over print-looking thing, and I guess the only reason I care about it so much is because I work at a place where I design jerseys, but I don't know. I prefer the simple, but that's just me. Sega's Astro City Mini 1/6 scale game cabinet launches on December 17th. Sega and Sega Toys announced on Friday that their Astro City Mini Arcade cabinet will ship in Japan on December 17th. Yeah, man. Astro City machines are sweet. I love the way those arcade machines look. And they're coming out with like a little mini version of it, kind of like the Neo Geo one that we talked about last week. But it's going to have Virtua Fighter, Fantasy Zone, two Golden Axe games, Alien Storm, Alien Syndrome, pretty much all the classic Sega games. Crackdown, Columns, Wonder Boy, Bonanza Brothers, Puyo Puyo, Gain Ground, Dark Edge, Altered Beast. You know, Altered Beast is great. If you've never played Altered Beast, that's a sweet game. That's a classic Sega game. So that's pretty cool. I would love how much is that gonna cost? $121. Ah, man. I guess mostly what you're paying for is like the build itself, and not so much the games, because you can get a Sega Collection games on Steam for like $20, and it comes with like 50 games. But yeah. They dropped a trailer for a new game. Game Science dropped the trailer for the new game Black Myth Wukong, and man, the trailer itself just went viral. And basically, it looks like Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice. It looks like Dark Souls, except you play Sun Wukong. You literally play the Monkey King, and he's kind of aged a bit, and like you're going around and you're fighting other mythical creatures and stuff. And it looks super sweet. I watched the trailer literally right before I started recording. I'm really excited for that. That looks really cool. DC Comics and DC Universe is doomed. Massive layoffs and changes. This is the big piece for the non-anime news. Big changes are happening and are coming to DC Comics and the DC Universe streaming service via parent company AT&T, as word of massive layoffs was reported earlier today. The news shouldn't be all that surprising if you've been reading comic book news following former DC Comics artist Ethan Van Sciver, who earlier in the year offered things were a disaster at DC and that AT&T could actually close down DC Comics. Early in the year, also saw DC Comics cut its line and get rid of Dan DiDio, with further cuts to the line now expected. With the launch of HBO Max, it seemed a given that eventually DC Universe would fold, which looks to be the case. That's sad. Massive layoffs. The Hollywood Reporter says Monday's WarnerMedia layoffs have affected a significant number of high-level figures at DC Comics, including the following said to be losing their positions, and that roughly one-third of DC's editorial ranks are being laid off. Editor-in-Chief Bob Harris, Senior VP Hank Canals, Senior Story Editor Brian Cunningham, Executive Editor Mark Doyle, he oversaw the rollout of the Black Label graphic novels. Jim Lee remains the DC Chief Creative Officer, but he will be transitioning out of that role soon. That is sad. I don't know what that means. I do know that, and I don't know if, I don't know, man. A lot of people will be quick to say, well, it's this pandemic. And while I have no doubts that that might be a big part of it, I'm sure that it was many, many, many other things as well that contributed to it. So that's really weird, and I have no idea what that means for the future of DC. We'll see. But yeah, man, you're just hearing so much about just these companies closing, video game companies, DC laying with mass layoffs, and I don't know what that means, but well, hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully, they can come back. You know, there's places trying to stay alive right now, and I guess if you want to support, then you just would have to buy some DC stuff or sub to DC Online or something, you know. But either way, that is all I got for the non-anime news. Let's take a small break, and we'll be right back. Boom, check that out for me, okay? Always links.animesummit.net. You can find everything right there. Patreon.com/animesummit. I just released a solo cast that, actually I haven't yet. I'll probably do it. It should be on there later today. You'll see. And by the time you're listening to this, it should be on there. It should already be on there, or it will be later today. But if you are a patron, you'll see it. You can become a patron, and you can get those updates and stuff in our Discord only patron or patron only Discord channel on our Discord. Also, if you're not a patron, you should just join the Discord anyway and just hang out with us. You know, we're always just in there chilling, having a good time, yelling at each other about anime and such. It's good times, man. It's good times. So links.anime7.net, you can find everything right there. I'm gonna put that towards the end. Tokyo Comic Con. Oh, let's get into the anime news. I forgot to say that. Let's get to the anime news, okay? Here we go. Tokyo Comic Con 2020 event to be held online in December. The staff for the Tokyo Comic Con 2020 event announced on Thursday that the event will be held online this year on December 4th through 6th, and it will be the 5th overall Tokyo Comic Con. So that's pretty cool. I wonder if, you can pay 500 yen for premium content. I wonder if you can go to the website. The events will stream live on the Tokyo Comic Con World website. Streaming events will include stage presentations, a celebrity area, a cosplay area, an artist alley, an exhibition area, and an EC area. These areas will be free to view. Viewers can also pay 500 yen for premium content. That's really cool. That's really cool. I wonder if people from all over can watch that. So remember we talked about the King of Fighters Chinese animated film? Apparently it's getting a simultaneous worldwide release in 2022. So, it's called King of Fighters Awaken, and it's all going to come out at one time internationally. So that's really sweet. So yeah, I'll be excited to watch that. Kamome Shirahama, Haruhi Nakata collaborate on first Kugutsu Senki manga. The October issue of Kodansha's Morning 2 magazine revealed on Friday that Kamome Shirahama and Haruhisa Nakata are collaborating to draw the art for the first manga in the Kugutsu Senki anthology. The pair are drawing the art for the series with Devils and Realist writer Madoka Takadono and Heaven's Design. Oh, there was a friggin' bug on me, you guys. Jesus. sorry. Heaven's Design team writer Hebizo penning the story. The issue published the first two chapters of the manga on Friday. I bring that up because Kamome Shirahama is goated. I mean, she's amazing. So there you go. New Higurashi When They Cry anime second video reveals episode 1's October 1st debut. I will not be watching this. I don't have time to be watching, you know, moe girls being gory and violent. I know people like that. I like yandere from a horror standpoint. I don't like it from a psychotic, weird standpoint. I don't know that much about Higurashi, so if I'm being, you know, elitist there, let me know. But, you know, I'm good. I'm good on that. I don't know if I'm going to be watching that. Otona Nya Koi no Shikara ga Wakarane, adult romantic comedy gets TV anime. The romantic comedy centers around two people, both about 30. Mio Sudo is an office lady who has not had a boyfriend in 5 years and forgotten what it's like to be in love. Shuji Majima is an overseas insurance consultant who has not had a girlfriend in 7 years, despite being highly eligible. And rom-com, blah, 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 blah. Hopefully this isn't another one of those things where I ranted on a recent episode where they just walk around going, ooh, oh my god, and then they just hold hands by the end of it. And I just want to see some boning. Anyway, Sorcerer Stabber Orphan anime second season promo video reveals January 2021 debut. I did not finish watching season one, but apparently it did well enough to get a season two. I mean, obviously, they're trying to adapt it for real this time, so maybe that's, you know, one of the things. But I don't know. I didn't finish watching it. I kind of want to, but I kind of put it on the back burner to finish other things that I wanted to watch more. So who knows? We'll see. Maybe I'll go back to it. Netflix streams new episodes of Pokemon Journeys anime in U.S. on September 11th. So for those of you who are watching Pokemon Journeys right now, new episodes are coming in September. So there you go. About a couple weeks away. We're already in fucking August. End of August already. Jeez. Sleepy Princess in the Demon Castle anime adds 9 cast members. We have a Wolf-Face Johnson, a Goblin-Face Johnson, and a fucking Frankenstein-Face Johnson, and a Minotaur-Face Johnson, and a bunch of other Face Johnsons. This looks really cute. I was trying to say cute and cool at the same time. I said cool. It looks really cute. Princess Silas is trying to get a good night's sleep, some shut-eye, 40 winks, catch some Z's. Long ago in olden times when people and demons lived together in, well, disharmony, a demon king kidnaps a human princess and imprisons her in his castle. Bereft, the princess's subjects beat their chests in anguish until a hero arises to spearhead Project Rescue on our princess. While waiting for her knight in shining armor, what's an imprisoned princess do? Teddy bear guards with bat's wings are all very well, but her dungeon cell is boring, so she decides to while away the long hours by sleeping. Now if only she could get comfortable and didn't suffer from insomnia. So basically, she's just sleeping, and it looks like a fantasy thing. It looks kind of cute. I mean, it could be really funny. It looks just by looking at the character designs of the Franken zombie and the Minotaur, you can tell right away it's going to be some goofy ass shit. I'm kind of excited for that. Heaven's Design Team anime teaser unveils more cast. The official website for the television anime Hebizu. Suda, Suzuki, and Tarako's Heaven's Design Team. It's a workplace comedy manga or anime that centers around the design department. Designers create a variety of new animals daily while contending with the unreasonable request of their client, God. Funny, interesting, and full of useful information, this series answers questions such as why can't unicorns exist? What makes an animal taste delicious? What's the most powerful creature in the ocean? And bird versus snake, who you got? That's pretty funny, man. I'm excited for this. So it's a workplace comedy in which the workers work on the design team for Heaven, and they design animals. And there's a little otter in this trailer, and that's just really adorable. God damn it. Anyway, I'm excited for that one because Animal Face Johnson's. Chibi Godzilla animated shorts. 30-second shorts follow about a picture book character premiered on July 15th. The animated shorts show the daily life of Chibi Godzilla, who lives at office worker Satomi's house. Motion capture technology and 3D models are used to animate Chibi Godzilla, Chibi Ghidorah, and Chibi Mothra. The first short appeared on July 15th, and the Godzilla franchise's YouTube channel is uploading a 30-second episode every Wednesday at 5 p.m. I'm going to have to go watch these. Can I watch these, dude? I'm going to have to go. I don't know where to go watch him. I'm trying to click the link. Oh, here it is. It's like a little 3D animated. That's really cute. Okay, I'm going to try and watch that later. New Dragon Quest, The Adventure of Dai anime unveils Demon Lord Army's cast. Man, I'm excited as fuck for this, man. I'm excited as hell. I mean, it looks amazing. This looks like a fucking... like a dragon. It looks like a Dragon Quest like thing, like absolutely does. The characters look cool. It reminds me of Toriyama's work, you know, his artwork for the original games and everything. Toei Animation is producing the anime, which will be a hybrid CG and 2D animation, and the manga is also inspiring of video game adaptations, the Dragon Quest Dino Daibouken Tamashii no Kizuna smartphone game, and then some other role-playing games. The 37-volume manga ran in Shueisha's Weekly Shonen Jump magazine from 89 to 96. The manga previously inspired a 46 anime series that aired in 91 and 92, and three short anime films that opened in July 91, 92, March 92, and July 92. So this is like a remake of a older story. So that's really sweet. Yeah, man, I'm excited. I'm excited. Kazuya Karasawa, who was the Dragon Ball Super episode director and the storyboarder for Super Broly, is serving as a series director for this. So I'm excited for this. It looks really cool. I can't wait for that. Square Enix, I guess this was video game news, so I forgot to say this in the video game news, but Square Enix trademarked Dragon Quest Tact in US and in Europe. So speaking of Dragon Quest, whoa, there you go. This is more interesting and not so much news. I mean, but anyway, the NBA playoffs are happening, and they basically made like a parody version of the opening for Cowboy Bebop featuring the song Tank by the Seatbelts, or Yoko Kanno and the Seatbelts. And you can just type in NBA playoffs trailer and find it, and it's got like LeBron James. I thought that was really funny. I thought it was really cool. I mean, obviously, that's how much Cowboy Bebop is still like a big deal around here, you know, so that's really cool. Our Last Crusade The Rise of the New World anime reveals more cast. I think this is an isekai, isn't it? Isn't this an isekai? A great war has raged for years between the Scientific Advanced Empire and Nebulous, the realm of magical girls, and then the Empire's youngest and strongest knight, and then they have to go after each other. It's like a Romeo and Juliet thing. Okay, I remember this one. Yep. I'm kind of hyped for that one because the character designs look really cool. And it's not an isekai, thank God. Jesus. Island of Giant Insect, apparently. Okay, so do you remember me talking about that movie on a newscast like almost a year ago? Apparently there was a Kickstarter to like dub it or whatever. And it now has met its goal. And I have no idea who some of these voice actors are. I've never seen their names before. But apparently they've done stuff before. I mean, okay, so this person's done B Gotta HK, Certain Magical Index. Oh, but there's little things here and there. I don't know, man. But yeah, apparently Island of Giant Insects is this weird, like, hyper adult, like, survival horror thing, and giant insects come and suck you dry, and it's really crazy. But yeah, so here's my two big pieces for the anime news. There's an online petition that went around, and it demands content warnings for sexual violence in Weekly Shonen Jump. A Change.org petition titled "We Boys Are Not Wolves, Shonen Jump Should Distinguish Between Eroticism and Sexual Violence" concluded on Friday after collecting over 4,000 online signatures in just over a week. The campaign organizer, a man named Manabu Sekiguchi, demanded that Weekly Shonen Jump should include content warnings or explanatory notes and panels containing sexual violence. He also demanded for Jump to survey its readers about their level of sexual education in order to create expressions of sexuality that can be properly grasped by the audience. In the campaign description, Sekiguchi shares his own story as a reader to Jump. When he was in elementary school and middle school, he often read manga with sexual content like To Love Rue. However, in university, he met a male friend who did not read To Love Rue, and he now retroactively understands why his friend found the content distasteful. Many of the sexual scenes depicted in the series are portrayed without mutual consent, and he now understands that it's not okay to look at a woman's body in a sexual way without regard for her feelings. I thought that was very interesting, and because, like, so, and it's hard because, like, it's funny because I remember it reminded me of this thread that I read from this woman who was working overseas in Japan. She was working, her job was in Japan, and she like did like this whole Twitter thread about why being a woman in Japan is not any better than being a woman in the US, and she like listed all these reasons of why it was really shitty. And I was like, damn, dude, that's absolutely true. Like, and she was like, let me just, like, before any of my girlfriends come on here and say, oh, I want to visit Japan so bad, I want to visit Japan so bad, or I wish I could live in Japan, let me tell you. And she, like, had this long thread about it. And, yeah, the way women are sexualized and treated over there is very, like, obviously us as weebs, you know, we're just watching anime, and we can, I think, me and Nick and Danny especially can be like, we can distinct between the two, like what's entertainment and what's whatever. But, you know, Weekly Shonen Jump, you know, it's aimed towards, you know, youth and over, you know, like 12 and up, you know, and these kids are reading these comics, you know, it's, you know, who knows, like, what they're thinking when they see a scene like that, you know what I mean? So, like, this guy is saying, basically saying, put content warnings and educational panels to show people that this is not really how it should go down, that what's happening in the scene is purely because the person committing the act of sexual violence is evil and it's bad and whatever, you know what I mean? And I think that's cool, and I think that is a step in the right direction. Obviously, I don't live there, so, like, my opinion is little to none or whatever. But, like, in just in terms of making sexual education more prominent, I'm all for that. I mean, sexual education is good all the time. It's never bad. So that's really cool, and I'm glad it reached all the signatures it needed. And it also goes on to say, as an adult, Sekiguchi now believes that the non-consensual sexual elements in Jump manga were not created by people who clearly understood the difference between fantasy and reality, but rather that they are the manifestation of a general lack of sexual education in society. Which, like, is, that could be true. Like, if you don't know how the real world works when it comes to trying to attract somebody and you fuck up, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make excuses for people. But, yeah, sexual education is important, period. So I hope that brings people in the right direction. Sexual education is never a bad thing. So here's the big piece. This happened literally right after I fucking... God. This happened literally right after I released the newscast. And I was like, damn it. Shit. But basically, Kiss Anime got shut down. So, that sucks. it's tough. It's tough. Because, you know, we don't, you know, we're talking about stuff and, we talk about pirating versus not pirating and whatever, and there's always that, oh, should you pirate, should you not, kind of deal. And I'm not going to get into that. I have my own personal opinions on it, opinions that I did not have just even a few years ago. I've learned a lot by talking to all of you, obviously. And to be able to make a better informed decision on whether you should or not. I'm not here to tell you to do or not do it. But there's more to it. I'll just say that. There's more to it than just saying, well, pirating is bad, so you shouldn't do it. Or, you know what I mean? Or there's more to it than just saying, who cares, you're not going to get caught. Or whatever. You know what I mean? There's more to it than either side of the thing here, and it comes down to one side or the other, but there's more details in the pudding, there's more fillings in the pie, if you know what I mean. And it's just, that's just, I will say that the fact that it shut down is a little unfortunate, and I understand that piracy is wrong, and it's hard to talk about, but instead of looking at, Here's my take. Instead of looking at the people pirating it or the people torrenting or whatever, ruining it for everyone, whatever you want to fucking call it, we should be looking at how the creators of these stories are paid. We should be looking at how we treat art and art, the artists that create that art. Maybe then we can find a way to bring their works to everyone. Because I know me, like for me personally, if I was creating an anime or a TV show or whatever the fuck it was, my thing when creating it is not to be like, man, I can't wait for someone to subscribe to Hulu to watch this. You know what I mean? Like, that's not going to be my thing. My thing is going to be, man, I can't wait till someone sees this. Period. So, I don't know, man. It's tough. There's also Mangamura that shut down in 2018. That kind of, we kind of talked about that too. And there's going to be like new laws talking about uploading manga panels and uploading to websites and things like that. Apparently you can get fined heavy for it. And it's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard to talk about. And I only bring it up because everyone consumes in a different manner, a different way. And you don't ever want to shame somebody for pirating too hard because, like, you know, you don't know the situation. But you also don't want to be, like, be an asshole to people who do, like, pay for everything and stuff like that. But, like, I don't know, it's just, it's really hard. You, like paying for Crunchyroll doesn't support the creators directly, I don't think. You know what I mean? So it's just, like, what are you really arguing about? I think really what we should be looking at is we should be looking at how creators are paid and how we can support them while consuming their stuff. That's what we should look at. We should look at how art in America, the way art is viewed in America is very shitty. It's funny because people will hold things like The Walking Dead and all these other great TV shows on a high-ass pedestal without realizing that that's an art form. Writers, set designers, costume designers, cameramen, storyboarders, that's all art. And the way art is looked at in like the U.S. education, public education system, and the way art is looked at even in college is like, it's dumb. And people make you feel like that you shouldn't be make a living, you should be able to make a living off of it. And you absolutely should. You absolutely should. And I think we need to look at the way that creators get paid more than looking at the person trying to torrent or whatever. That's all. That's my opinion. If you think I'm wrong, hit me up. Tell me why I'm wrong. And let's talk about it. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode of the Newscast. Hit me up on Discord, links.animesummit.net. Once again, for if you want to come and join the Discord or follow us on social media or YouTube, things like that. I love you guys. Thanks for listening every week. I've been Tom, and this has been the Anime Summit Newscast.